David. Thank you very much, and thank all of you for being here. We do have a good crowd. It's amazing how many people want to find out what a donkey had to say. But I think probably some of you thought Joe Biden would be here. But strike that last comment, will you? But anyway, you know, the Democratic Party is represented by the donkey, and that's what I had in mind. But anyway, you know, we all sometimes have a slip of the tongue, and I just did. So I apologize to any of you Democrats out there. Anyway, a talking donkey. You remember a story in the Old Testament about a donkey that talked? How many of you remember a story? My goodness. Well, I don't need to preach that. You already know it. But anyway, I do want to talk about that tonight. The talking donkey. You know, it's amazing how God can use different things to get our attention and to make us aware sometimes of what is going on around us. And God has a great way of getting our attention. And certainly the story of Balaam's donkey is one of them. Someone said, in reality, we need more talking donkeys today. He is described actually in the Word of God as a beast without speech who spoke with a man's voice. The story unfolds for us over in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. And when Moses recorded this story for us, it certainly became one that proved very, very interesting to the people of God. And the story is found in, as I said, the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Well, let me give you a little history about this before we go on tonight and the lessons that are to be learned. Balaam was a pagan, actually. He became a wicked prophet who practiced divination. Or he was a diviner, or you could say that he was a magician or a sorcerer or whatever. But he practiced all kinds of magic arts. And he actually helped lead Israel into apostasy and was identified, actually, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and following there, as a false prophet, not only by Peter, but also by Jude in that little book in verse 11. Now, Balaam was not an Israelite. I would let you know that up front also. But he was a prophet described in the Old Testament in that book of Numbers. Now, I hope you can see this. I'm not sure that you can. But Balaam, as I said, was not an Israelite. He was a known priest or a diviner, if you will. And at one time, he may have followed God, but he became a diviner and actually became more involved in magicianry and sorcery than anything else. And he is a false prophet by definition. When the Apostle Peter chose to describe many of those who turned away from God, he said they have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The donkey speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of this prophet. In Jude, verse 11, as I mentioned, the word says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Fearing the encroaching Israelites, King Balak, and you remember that he was king of Moab, and he actually sent for Balaam. He wanted Balaam to do him a favor, and he offered him all the wonderful things in his household. He would give him all the grant. He would provide for him the rest of his life. And he did everything within his power to get Balaam actually to divine for him and to curse ancient Israel. But Balaam refused to do that. But he did everything in his power to get Balaam to actually place that curse upon the children of God. You see, Balaam was one who he thought, Balak thought, would preach just what he wanted him to preach. You know, we got a lot of folks today that in the church that believe that the preacher ought to preach not so much the truth, but what they want to hear. They were like those in the Old Testament who cried out and said, "Preach unto us smooth things." They didn't want to hear about sin. They didn't want to hear about ungodly living. But they wanted to hear an "I'm okay, you're okay" lesson. That's exactly what Balak wanted. And he actually thought that he could entice Balaam to do that. Factually speaking, he went to him three times and he took him different places. And he showed the encroaching Israelites. But Balaam did not place a curse on the children of God. You know, we live in a world today that you could characterize as God, greed, and the prosperity gospel in our world. There are some preachers who would get up here and preach it like you want to hear it. But this preacher will preach the truth. So help me God. The Lord spoke to Balaam after Balak had ensued and tried to get him to come to him and place a curse on Israel. But the Lord spoke to Balaam and told him to refuse to go to Balak. Now, although the Lord actually relented after a period of time, and he told Balaam it would be all right for him to go, but you do one thing, and that is you speak only the words that I shall give unto you. So Balaam, here we go. Balaam saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab back to Balak. But knowing Balaam's heart, the Lord's anger burned against Balaam because he knew that Balaam would probably preach it and teach it if it benefited him. He knew of the rebellious nature of this diviner. And he sent an angel with a drawn sword to actually stand in the way and prevent him from going to Balak. Now, I want you to get this picture just a moment. There is an angelic force that stands in the way of Balaam and his donkey as they're riding along. Now, although Balaam couldn't see the angel, his donkey could. Now, isn't that amazing? The donkey could see the angel, and she tried to discontinue the journey off of the beaten path there, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall and finally just laying down in the path that became very, very narrow. You can almost envision this in your mind's eye, what is going on. But angered by the donkey's behavior, Balaam used his staff to start beating the donkey, and he beat that donkey three times. He did everything in the world he could to get that donkey to move. He might bray, but he wasn't about to move. For he could see the angel of God standing in the path. And then in Numbers 22 and verse 28, we learn that the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Now get this picture, folks. This donkey didn't speak by himself. But the Lord opened his mouth, and she said, that is the donkey, said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto you for you to beat me?" He said, "I've been your burden of beast all of these years. And what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Now, if you stop and think about it, the donkey actually has Balaam pinned. His foot is crushed. And then Balaam and the donkey proceed to have a conversation about the situation. With Balaam, who is angry over what he has done and why he is berating this burden of beast, after which the Lord opened Balaam's eyes to see the angel, and he understood why the journey abruptly came to an end. And after the donkey spoke to Balaam and Balaam's eyes were opened, then the angel proceeded to ask the identical questions that the donkey had asked that came from the mouth of the donkey. And we know that God was speaking through that donkey. You know, it's amazing what God does, isn't it? And it's amazing, as I said, how he gets our attention. He got Moses' attention with a burning bush. He got the attention of King Pharaoh with the staff of Aaron and the budding rod. God gets our attention as well. And in the book of 2 Peter 2 and verse 16, this is reiterated by Peter, who identifies the donkey, as I said in the very onset of the lesson tonight, a beast without speech who spoke with a man's voice. Now, here's a lesson to all this, folks. He was in rebellion against the Lord, that is, Balaam was. And he was going to Balak for his own purposes. Keep in mind, he's a diviner. I'll do anything for money. That was the attitude that he had. And that's the attitude of a lot of religious prognosticators today. I'll do anything for money. I'll preach it the way you want it preached, whatever you want. I'll do it if the money is right. It's kind of like another diviner that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. You remember Simon the sorcerer? When he saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, then the Bible says that he offered Peter and others money that he may have this same power that they had. And Peter said, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness. He said, your heart is not right in this matter. Thy money perish with thee. And that is what God was wanting Balaam to say to Balak. I can't curse the children of Israel. And the reason Balak was wanting to curse them was the fact that they were growing. And the Israelite tribes were growing. And Balak was not successful at all. In Matthew 24, at that time, the Bible says that many turned from the faith and will betray and hate each other, Jesus said. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. You know what? There are many false prophets in our world. If you think the false prophets are here no longer, you're sadly mistaken. Not only did Jesus say false prophets would arise, we know that John, when he wrote to the early church, said the same thing, that false prophets would arise. And that's why he wrote in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 to try the spirits, whether they are of God. Don't just believe anything that they are saying. But there's a second thing to this story, and it's amazing. You know, I always thought it was kind of unusual that Balaam didn't have any problem carrying on a conversation with a donkey. Charles McCullough told me one time that his donkey talked. I don't know what he said. I'm sure it wasn't what this donkey said. But the donkey's refusal to continue down the path enraged him. And he beat that donkey out of anger, because she had mocked him and made a fool out of him. That, to me, is most amazing. You know, sometimes God puts obstacles in our way, doesn't he? He does. You know, we have all kinds of obstacles. Sometimes God says, detour, don't go this way. And that's exactly what he was saying to Balaam. Don't go this way. The donkey runs out in the field, first of all. He wouldn't go in front of that angelic force of God who had a sword. Sometimes God not only says, take a detour, but sometimes he says, don't enter. Don't do something that you will regret the rest of your life. Sometimes God puts a big sign in front of us that says, wrong way. People don't like those signs. People don't like truth when they have espoused and believed certain things. And then they're awakened to what truth really is. Well, Balaam did not relent and give in to Balak. He said, I must speak the words of God. But you know what? Even when the warnings are there, sometimes people go beyond the warnings and they break through. You know, a lot of people are killed each year because they try to beat a train and they go right through that barrier. They'll either go through or sometimes they even go through it, break it down, not around it, to their dismay. So let me say this in defense of self tonight. When you are mad at your preacher, you better rethink it. Because you know what I'm doing here tonight? I'm doing the same thing that Balaam's donkey was doing. Warning you that there is an impending doom against those who reject God and refuse to do His will. Anger has a way of curtailing rational thought, doesn't it? And perhaps maybe in this story, he was so intent on really doing his best to dominate this animal that he lost his ability to think clearly. And he took it out on his donkey. Can't you imagine what Balaam must have felt? He's riding along on his donkey, and all of a sudden the donkey speaks back. So what in the world are you doing? Why are you beating me? I've been your beast of burden. I've been your donkey all of these years, and here you are beating me. And in reality, he was only trying to protect Balaam. I know that's true, according to what the Bible says. And it wasn't until the angel opened Balaam's eyes to see reality that he relented his anger against his donkey. Don't you know he felt like a fool after that? But he listened to the angel and he repented. Brings me to point number three. Balaam went to Balak and he told the king, I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. Isn't it interesting that he was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel? But he says, I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every preacher who stood in a pulpit like this would only speak the words of God? No opinions, no ideas, no concepts, no thoughts except the thoughts of God. For in Isaiah 55, God says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And this just goes to show that God can use anyone, even a donkey and a rebellious prophet, to do His will and to acknowledge the truth, the whole truth. That's what He did. It is one thing, however, for a donkey to talk, but shouldn't we be talking as well? Shouldn't we be talking about God to everybody we know? Shouldn't we be trying to preach the gospel to people that are lost and undone and people that are going to hell? And when we see them going to hell, shouldn't we be that warning sign that says, do not enter? Shouldn't we be the warning sign that says, go around the other way? Don't listen to false doctrine. Shouldn't we be the angel with the sword that demands only truth? We should be teaching the truth of God to our neighbors, to our loved ones. You see, the gospel is not about what you want to hear, but it's about what you need to hear. And Balaam needed to hear that word from God. And there are many tonight that need to hear it. I thank God for those who still preach it, for those who teach it, for those who uphold it, even in the face of modern day congregations of the Lord's church who would be just simply satisfied if the preacher were to get in the pulpit and deviate from truth. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren, it is happening. It's happening in our brotherhood. You and I are going to be judged by truth, not by the opinions of men, but by truth. I hope tonight that all of us will have a deeper dedication to just simply upholding the truth of God. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of God's way, think about it. God's speaking to you tonight. And He is encouraging you. He is through me. I'm His instrument. I'm His donkey tonight. No pun intended. But I am His donkey tonight, and I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you that God is going to judge the hearts and the secrets of men in time. And whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell will be based upon what we have done with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach it and preach it again. That, my friend, is the message of God. It is the message of the talking donkey. If you believe with all of your heart tonight that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to turn your life over to Christ, you're willing to yield to the message of God tonight by being baptized for the remission of your sin, then you can be forgiven. Heaven can be your home. The angels of heaven will rejoice, and God will be honored and blessed. And we invite you tonight to make that commitment while we stand and while we sing.